are now listening to the Legends Lingo Podcast, presented by CouchGuysSports.com. Here are your hosts, Al.
You didn't ask him about that long?
I was chatting there, Beetle.
What the fuck kind of host are you? I mean, you're Beetle, burying the lead.
Shit, dude. Someone Chris is... him, please.
Powder.
Yes, sir.
And Maddie D.
And on top of that, now you have a triple effect. You have the Niners looking for a long-term answer with Jimmy G in-house. Maybe they don't want to spend the money on Jimmy G. Maybe he gets freed up because they go after a guy like Teddy Bridgewater, who now theoretically could be freed up. So there's a lot of dominoes to fall.
Enjoy the show.
What's up, everyone? Welcome back in Legends Lingo Podcast, episode 157, as always. Presented by CouchGuysSports.com. Make sure to go check out everything on CouchGuysSports.com, from the daily blogs, to the podcast, to the YouTube channel, the Twitch channel, the store, and everything else in between. Alan Higgin with you once again. Tom Powder Cab is here. Maddie Kiwoom here. The full trio in it together for the long haul at our new recording time. Mm-hmm. Guys, how are the both of you tonight?
I'm good, but bad at the same time because of what was announced last night at around 6:15.
Oh boy. Okay. It's going to be that type of show.
Yeah,
okay. Daddy?
I'm in the exact same boat, Powder. I was doing great until about 6:15 last night.
Yeah. When I heard only one.
Eastern Standard Time.
Yeah. What do you guys mean? 6:15 is dinner time. That's a great time. What are you talking
about? Not when it's interrupted by some news that we may or may not get into tonight. Yeah.
We're going to get into a lot tonight. Okay. We're going to get into some Celtics talk. Marcus Smart officially trade eligible. So we're going to talk about whether or not we see him in Boston. And a certain big event happened, and a famous Boston icon in the sports world had something good happen to him. And we're going to get into all that. And we will put in our picks for the conference championship games in football, because, man, can we not pick divisional games? Because we stink at picking those games.
We're so bad. Good. We nailed them all.
Oh, we did so good. I hope you faded us. Fade the Legends boys.
Yep.
One thing you should listen to the Legends boys, though, about is our friends over at Shocked Energy. Because, as always, the Legends Lingo Podcast is sponsored by our friends at Shocked Energy. Have you ever felt unable to focus? You're tired, or you're just low on energy? We understand that feeling. We understand so well that, like we said, Legends Lingo Podcast is brought to you by the Couch Guy Sports Network and sponsored by our friends over at Shocked Energy. Shocked Energy is a drink made for gamers, podcasters, by gamers, and podcasters. It's for everybody. All their flavors come packed with 180 milligrams of caffeine to ensure that no matter what you're doing, your focus will always be razor sharp to keep you performing at the top of your game. Their formulas are designed to specifically give you high energy boosts when you need it the most, while ensuring to avoid the jitters after too much caffeine consumption. Head over to shockedenergy.com and use the promo code CGSN. today for 10% off your order. That's right, 10-1-0 CGSN at checkout. Check out their green apple flavor as well as their watermelon flavor. And don't worry, it ships worldwide. Powder, name a random country for me.
Uzbekistan.
Oh, Uzbekistan. Manny, name a random country for me.
I've heard this far out, pretty groovy land called Canada.
Wow. Canada. Wherever you listen to this podcast. Shocked Energy ships worldwide. That's right, worldwide. Get your Shocked Energy today, and let us help you gain back your focus and energy. 10% off at checkout with the promo code CGSN.
Do you think they ship to Hogwarts?
I mean, they should. They need energy for the Quidditch matches, so they might need it.
Maybe that's how they defeated Thou Shall Not Be Named. They had a couple of Shocked Energies and got after it.
Yeah.
They really did. I've always wondered what it would be like to actually play Quidditch. Just like get up on broomsticks and see if you could like just fly around the air and try to catch. What's the thing that if you catch it, you win automatically? What was the name of that thing again? You guys remember?
The Golden Snitch.
That's what it was.
The or Golden Stitch, Snitch or something like that.
And then Harry Potter like always found a way to just like to get it and win the game for Hogwarts. It was crazy.
Boys, let's call a spade a spade. If a nerd like Harry can be good at Quidditch, the three of us would be up there like superstars.
Yep.
Oh man. Well, I'm not calling myself a superstar. I can't run. I can't move a broom fast. I can't do anything fast. But what did happen fast is David Ortiz making the MLB Hall of Fame. That right there. I'm sorry. I'm going to gloat for a second. That's a Hall of Fame transition. So credit to
you, sir.
That's incredible. Okay. I don't toot my own horn very often, but I'm taking the credit for that.
You hear that beep, beep, beep.
I have to. David Ortiz officially a first ballot Hall of Famer, your Boston Red Sox DH, David Ortiz. I don't know if you guys knew this. You probably do because you're more baseball minded than I am. Like, I'm a baseball guy, but I don't know like the nitty gritty details. Do you guys know he was in the Mariners organization at some point?
Yeah, I actually did not know that.
Okay, so Powder knew it.
He got first drafted right after.
Okay. So,
yeah. So he went to Seattle, Minnesota, and then over to the Boston
Red Sox. Yeah. Because I read both of his books. They're very good reads, if you ever.
Okay.
Oh, so, yeah.
Yeah.
So let's talk about that first, because we have a lot of Hall of Fame stuff that we're going to talk about, because we're big baseball guys. I think we all can agree baseball is the three of ours number one sport.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to start off with this little tidbit. David Ortiz absolutely deserved to be in the Hall of Fame. I mean, there's no doubt about it. Even if you don't want to take in the 500 home runs and everything else that he did in the regular season, take what he did in the postseason. I mean, he won 3 World Series titles. In 2013, he hit .688 in the World Series. That's unheard of. 7-for-10 almost at the plate. Mm-hmm. That's crazy to think about. And obviously, all the stuff he did in 04, you know, the walk-off home run in Game 4 against the Yankees, the walk-off single – that people forget about in Game 5 against the Yankees.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's one of my favorite swings ever. Just a broken bat single.
Right up the middle.
It's incredible. It's incredible. And people forget. And it's funny, Powder and Max, people do forget about that.
Yeah.
Because the home run's obviously king and it's more glamorous and everything else. But, you know, David Ortiz, and people also forget this too. David Ortiz almost died when he got shot a couple years ago. So he might have not even been around for this when he was like praying.
Oh my God.
Right?
I somehow did not really connect that last night.
It's funny. I didn't really either until a couple minutes ago. I was thinking about, I'm like, wow, Ortiz was just, he almost wasn't here to experience his own Hall of Fame induction. And it was cool because Pedro Martinez was with him and they were experiencing his teammates. Obviously Pedro was the one that got Ortiz to Fenway in the first place to sign a 1-year deal in 03 with the Sox. And then obviously that worked out extremely well.
Yep.
So very well earned, very well deserved. I'll kind of let you guys kind of add in what you want about David Ortiz, but shout out to Big Poppy, man. He deserved to be in the Hall of Fame. I didn't know if he was going to get in on the first ballot, but good for him for getting in on the first ballot. So floor is open.
So a little
you go first, Powder.
Yeah. A little tidbit on that Mariners thing is, they had a home run derby in the minor leagues and A-Rod and Ken Griffey Jr. were there and they were like, oh my God, this guy is legit. He, like, if you read his book, there's a part of it where it talks about that one day, that's kind of where he started getting noticed to become a big leaguer was there was a minor league home run derby and A-Rod and Griffey were there and they're like, holy crap. Like, this guy's absolutely legit. He has power that we just don't see that often. And that's kind of what got his name out there, but just seeing him, his days in Minnesota, he was all right, but he was not an everyday player because obviously he was trying to play first base. And then Pedro seeing what he could do and getting him to Boston, he never hit less than 20 home runs in a season in Boston, which made him one of the he was great. Every year he was one of the most feared hitters. And the Red Sox, I think, did a pretty good job with him, like surrounding him with good players. Like, he had Manny, then Pedroia was really good around him. And just every, like, all the good years he had, he always had someone there to help him.
Go ahead, man. Yeah.
David Ortiz, what he means to the three of us, to Red Sox Nation, to baseball in general, alone. Makes him such a polarizing figure to get into the Hall of Fame on the first ballot nomination. So I'm ecstatic that he got in. It's tough in a day and age where everyone wants to quantify everything. They want to number it so that they can figure it out and analyze it. And the guy was so clutch that it just sends people into a tizzy because it's undeniable. It's absolutely undeniable. We've talked about some of the moments here tonight. And then I just always think about, you know, the Boston bombing after the marathon and the speech that he gave. I mean, to go out in front of damn near 40,000 people live, millions of people watching, English is not his first language. He goes out there and he delivers a speech that will live in infamy, not with the Red Sox, but with the city of Boston. And, you know, those things aren't measurable and they're fantastic. And they are part of the game and part of the lore and part of, you know, the stories that make baseball fans and Red Sox fans. So to get him in, and he's a DH, which people get so up in a tizzy that it's such a big deal. But I mean, he was so good. And when you look at the stats, they back it up. Yeah, he doesn't have the counting stats that a lot of people do. But when you look at his season by season, if he played in 11 or more games in a season, his WRC plus was never below 100, which means he was league average or better every year that he played 11 or more games. And he finished with a WRC plus of 140, well above average. Absolute stud, rose to every occasion that was put in front of him. An absolute Hall of Famer, no doubt.
Yep. That 2013 home run, too, against the Tigers. It was a grand slam, right?
Yeah. I mean, they were down four runs, grand slam to tie it. There is no amount of clutch ever in the history of sports as much as that. You could be as clutch as that. But that was like, you needed every ounce of that, and he delivered.
Yeah.
Ortiz, you can't replace David Ortiz. And honestly, that one swing of the bat in game two of the 2013 ALCS, that changed the whole series around. Because the Tigers go up 2-0. They're going back home to Detroit. We forget that team was loaded.
No reason the Red Sox should have won that series. No reason.
Not at all. I mean, you think about it, right? They had Miguel Cabrera, Prince Fielder, Max Scherzer in their rotation.
Victor Martinez was really good.
Martinez, yep. That's another name. They went
Verlander, Scherzer, and David Price. Anibal Sanchez.
Rick Porcello.
Yes, they were stacked.
Robbie Ray. Out of their rotation, out of that pitching staff, I think five or six of them have won Cy Youngs after leaving the Tigers.
That's going to be the next 30 for 30. What was the 2013 Detroit Tigers? But, you know, credit to that Red Sox team for what they did in 13, and that's not possible without Ortiz. You know, if Ortiz doesn't get the grand slam, if Torrey Hunter somehow robs it, you know, then the Red Sox.
He was so close.
He was very close, and then he was bleeding out of his head. But, you know, we digress. David Ortiz, first year on the ballot, gets 77.9% of the votes. So 307 out of 397 votes he got. He's in. We're very happy about that. Red Sox Nation's happy about that. Couldn't have happened to a better guy. The only problem is that he was the only guy that got the call to the Hall. So we're going to get into the next part of this really quick. So a few names. Notable names that are on here. Barry Bonds, 66% of the votes. He's on the last year of his eligibility. Roger Clemens, 65.2% of the votes. He's on the last year of his eligibility. A name that's interesting to me, Scott Rowland, 63.2%. He has five more years left on the ballot.
He's going to make it.
He'll make it. I think he'll make it on like his seventh or eighth time, I think. I think he'll get there.
He's knocking the door right now.
Absolutely. Yeah. Curt Schilling, 58.6%. 10 years on the ballot. He's done. You know, then you got others in here like A-Rod got 34.3% of the votes. Manny Ramirez, 28.9%. What's the minimum that you have to get to stay on the ballot? Is it like 10%? 5%? Okay. So for guys, so let's see here. So Joe Nathan no longer will be on it. Tim Hudson, Tim Lincecum, Ryan Howard, Mark Teixeira, Justin Morneau, officially off the ballot. They have no chance. Got under the 5% threshold. Torrey Hunter, our friend Torrey Hunter, 5.3%. So he's just staying on the ballot.
Yeah.
But anyways,
James.
What did Papelbon finish with?
1.3. Okay. Interesting. And I'm just looking at some of these other ones, like Andy Pettit got 10.7. But anyways, the big names, Barry Bonds, Roger Clemens. I'm even going to throw Schilling in there. I'm not saying he's with Bonds and Clemens, but he was a stud.
Yeah.
You know? And it's funny to me because these writers, these people that have votes, they just don't want to see the steroid guys in. But then again, people said that David Ortiz did steroids and they're allowing other people on the ballot and in the Hall of Fame that have done steroids. So I guess my question is, what is the line? You know, is it just vote them all in? Is it keep them all out? Like, where's the consistency here? Because if you're going to vote for David Ortiz, great. But you can't tell me that Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens shouldn't be in there too.
I got to say, the fact that A-Rod isn't, right there knocking on the door or a first ballot is also a shame to baseball. Yeah. This should be the rule. Listen, we have to stop pretending like these writers are infants or robots. They are adults who can think of nuance. All you have to say is keep it within the scale of the era. They were all using it. Don't get high and mighty on who got it and who didn't. They were all using, and if they balled out and they put up Hall of Fame numbers in that era, they deserve to get in. Manny Ramirez, Sammy Sosa, they had phenomenal careers. They shaped baseball. And let's also say one more thing about these writers. They gave you stuff to write about. Go look through Dan Shaughnessy's archives. You don't think he wrote about the back and forth home run series between Sosa and McGuire? You don't think he wrote about A-Rod? No, they have no problem making money writing stories about these guys. But when it comes to putting them in the Hall of Fame, where baseball fans should all deserve to see them in. It's like, I'm just sick of these guys pretending to be some kind of gatekeepers when the fact is they just have a job. Do your freaking job.
Yeah. The one question I have for you guys, and then I'll go off a little bit, but can you tell the story of baseball without Roger Clemens and Barry Bonds? Is there?
Absolutely not.
No.
Or would you just skip a whole lot of stories?
It's going to be a big, so then be a big gap.
Why can't they be in the Hall of Fame? They deserve it. I think both of them, natural talent alone, and obviously, who knows, like, is not proven. They never failed the test. But natural talent alone, Barry Bonds, before he supposedly was doing steroids, he had over 400 home runs. He's only played ever in, what is it, the 500-500 club? 500 home runs, 500 stolen bases. Roger Clemens, 7 Cy Youngs, 220 strikeout games.
How high? 300 wins.
Yeah, 300 wins. I think over 4,000 strikeouts, 5,000 strikeouts. Obviously, Pete Rose is a different story, but the all-time hits leader, all-time home runs leader, and all-time Cy Young Award leader, all three of them not in the Hall of Fame.
I still think Pete Rose should be in, too. I don't care. Like, he should be in.
Yep.
But, it
got me so mad. I was listening to it on the drive home last night, and when I heard only one, obviously I knew exactly who it was when they said only one because I was following the tracker. Mm-hmm. Shout out not Mr. Tibbs for the tracker, but I knew it was Ortiz. But when they said only one, I was like, I'm just turning it off. Like, congrats to David Ortiz. I'm so happy for you. You were an idol growing up to me, but Barry Bonds is the greatest hitter to ever do it, period. How many hitters get intentionally walked with the bases loaded in a two-run game? A two-run game. They're making a one-run game to intentionally walk him.
He was incredible. I mean, we all remember the 2001 season, right? Would be out hanging out with friends. You'd be in the pool. You'd be playing outside, playing football, whatever. One of your buddies would be like, Bonds is up. Guys, Bonds is up. And everything would pause. You'd run to the TV and watch his at-bat. You cannot tell the story of baseball without Bonds. I couldn't have said it better, Potter.
Yeah.
And you guys make great points because here's the thing. Barry Bonds, Roger Clemens, two of the greatest. Can't dispute it. When the Yankees and the Red Sox had their rivalry in the early 2000s, Roger Clemens was a big part of that. Started with the Red Sox, went to the Blue Jays, and he went to the Yankees. You know, Clemens needs to be in there. And Bonds, like, Bonds was great with the Pirates before he was with the Giants. So, I mean, had a ton of MVPs, gold gloves, like, you name it, he basically had it, except for a World Series ring. So, if you're going to vote him in, vote him in. And honestly, it's like the crybaby committee. It's a case where if Barry Bonds was, like, mean to someone or didn't want to answer questions, a reporter could just be like, oh, Barry Bonds is mean to me. I'm not voting him in. Like, that's the kind of power these voters have. And I'm sick of it. I am really sick
of it. These writers need to get off their high horse. And one other observation I had on this whole process, Potter, you mentioned the tracker, right? going into the, you know, when the tracker kind of cut off, I think they were what, like 60% of votes were accounted for?
Something like that. It was right. So mid-50s about 40 or so. 60.
Yeah. So it's about, let's say 40% were left. Mm-hmm. And all three of the guys who were above the threshold fell tremendously, which tells me this. If you weren't going to vote for them, why were you hiding your ballot? That mm-hmm. tells me they had a little bit of shame. Because if they're out there all proud, they can show everyone their ballot. That tells me two things. One, they don't know how to use the internet to put it online, which tells me they shouldn't get a right to vote in the game in which kids and adults watch and play.
Mm-hmm.
Second, if they're ashamed of it, that tells you they're not even doing it for the purity of the vote. Yeah. They're doing it to na-na-na-na-boo-boo or this guy did this or da-da-da-da. It's just, oh my God, these are grown-ups. They're not even grown-ups. They're old men that just get off your high horse. It's insane. And I'm going to say it one last time. A-Rod being left off the Hall of Fame list and being that low in percentage is a crime. He almost had 700 home runs. He was one of the best players I have ever seen in my life. And I watch a ton of baseball. And you comb through some of his seasons, this guy is a Hall of Famer. And he's still in the game today, whether you like him or you don't. That's not the point. The fact is he's relevant in baseball. And you're telling kids to not pay attention to this guy. You're telling guys like our age that our childhoods, we were watching a bunch of frauds. And by quite frankly, I'm just sick of it.
I'm sick of it too. So we'll see what happens next year. Happy Ortiz is in. Not very happy that Bonds and Clemens aren't in. You know, Scott Rowland will get in. Schilling was like, all right, I don't want to be in anyway. So whatever. But
there's one name I want.
You can't fire me. I quit.
Exactly. Yeah.
I want to ask you guys real quick, the one name that I think is very interesting, though, is very, like, it's, I feel like 50-50 with a lot of people. Andrew Jones, do you think he should be in?
No, I don't.
He'd be in the Hall of very good, in my opinion.
Yeah, he's not that great. What do you think?
I think his first 10 years, I think he could get in, but I think it hurts him because he was so good from 18 to 28. And everybody looks at, like, what you did in your 30s. But a lot of times it's a 10-year peak. And his 10-year peak was as good as a lot of people's.
Oh, he was a tremendous baseball player, no doubt.
Tremendous fielder, especially.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my goodness.
Clutch, too. He was fun. Mm-hmm. Andrew Jones was great.
Very fun player.
Yeah.
Very, very fun player. We'll see what happens with Andrew Jones. But we're going to move on. We can talk baseball for about 2 hours. Just this baseball.
It would just be us griping because guess what? There's nothing new to talk about because these owners are locking out the players, further pushing this sport down the hole that they keep creating.
Mm. Right. Exactly. And so we're going to move on. But before we move on, our good friend Maddie looks like he's relaxed. He's the most relaxed out of all of us. Mm. He looks like he just had a day at the spa. Maddie, you want to tell us about a product that could basically have you feeling like a day at the spa without even having to leave your house?
Well, let me go ahead and tell you boys this right here, right now. I got a little thing called the Exo Gun, and this thing is tremendous. It gets deep into your tissues. It uses some percussion massage technology that just gives you that relaxing, very, very comforting massage, or you can turn it up a notch and get a little crazy with it. Get real deep into it. If you had a good workout, you know, you took it to the trails, take it to the gym, whatever. It's portable. It's great. And not only can you get an Exo Gun that does all of these things, you can get a little bit of money off. Isn't that right, Val?
It is correct. Tell us how much.
You can get 10% off your order. That's right. By using the promo code. I'll tell them the promo code.
That promo code CGS10, I believe. CGS10.
Is it CGS10? It is, baby. Use that promo code CGS10 to get 10% off your Exo Gun purchase today and take the power of percussive massage wherever you need it.
Shout out to our friends at Exo Gun. Shout out to Maddie D. I think we found our new Exo Gun ad reader. So bravo to you, Maddie. That was a test. You passed it. So congratulations. You have the Exo Gun ad from here on out.
Let's go.
We love that. We love that. Some guy that we might not see here on out, Marcus Smart, Boston Celtics. So I want to talk about this for a few minutes because the NBA trade deadline is coming up. There's a lot of rumors with the Celtics. Supposedly Brad Stevens is being very active. Teams are calling the Celtics about certain players. Robert Williams is another name that's been thrown out there. But basically people are saying the Celtics believe Robert Williams is part of the core of the future, along with Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown. So that leads me to Marcus Smart. So he had something in his contract. I don't know the exact details. We have to get Fiesta back on. Tom Salem Facette to explain it, because I will say one thing about Fiesta. He's the king of like contracts, cap, all that. Like, Maddie, you're going to be impressed with how well Fiesta knows his stuff.
I can't wait.
When he comes on here. But Marcus Smart had it in his contract where he could not be traded until January 25th. The date today is January 26th, is where we're recording. So we're recording on Wednesday night, January 26th, one day after Marcus Smart becomes trade eligible. Trade deadline's in about two and a half weeks. So I have a very simple question for you guys. I have my thoughts on it, and I want to hear your guys' thoughts first. After the trade deadline, is Marcus Smart still a Boston Celtic or not? I'll start with Maddie.
As I sit here right now, I am going to say yes. And the reason why is I have yet to see any player or rumor get juicy enough to where I think a guy like Smart would be dealt. They're playing a little bit better, but again, snooze fest. They're at 500. We've been through the Celtics roller coaster before. At the end of the day, I think a Marcus Smart trade happens in the offseason.
Okay, so finishes the season, but then offseason, he's gone.
Yeah, because I don't see this team pulling themselves up to any type of level of encouragement where they want to keep it as it's currently structured. So big moves in the offseason.
Oh, I think I know where you're headed. Bradley Beal sign and trade, Smart as a main piece. I like it.
Yeah, I could see something like that happen. I mean, the Wizards.
You were not thinking that at all, were you?
No, I wasn't. I was because I saw something juicy today, maybe a Ben Simmons for Bradley Beal type of deal, which kind of makes sense for both sides there. So that could see something like that come to fruition. But at the end of the day, these NBA players, they have such power given the small amount of them on the roster and how big a star can carry a team. And I think if Beal wants to come to Boston, Beal will get his way to Boston.
Okay. Fair enough. Powder, what do we think? Smart a Celtic or no?
I think, unfortunately, he will stay a Celtic. I just think it's going to be, I think, Brad Stevens' first year. I think he's either going to go one way or another. I think he's going to be either very aggressive or it's going to be like Danny Ainge all over again where just nothing happens. And I just think nothing's going to happen. I think they're going to stay quiet and then, like Max said, something big's going to happen in the offseason. So I think Brad Stevens might stay quiet this trade deadline and then really retool in the offseason.
I'll tell you what, I'm going to disagree with both of you, respectfully, of course. I think he does get traded. I think Marcus Smart's days are done as a Celtic, and here's why. The Celtics need to make a big move to kind of restructure that roster. They cannot keep these pieces in place. Dennis Schroeder's going to be out the door. Ennis Freedom's going to be out the door. Josh Richardson might be out the door. The young guys, Aaron Naismith and Peyton Pritchard might be out the door. And I like Peyton Pritchard a lot. I think he can definitely bring some value to the Celtics team as a pass-first point guard that can also shoot from the outside. But I digress. Marcus Smart is that big piece. He's the most well-known name, and he's under contract for 3 more years. That's the one thing that teams might be looking at especially. Mm-hmm. Are these guys on decent deals? Marcus Smart, I think he's on like a $12 million deal, something like that per year. So that's not too bad if you're a team that's taking on a contract. So if I'm a team that's a piece away, like a defender away, a guy that, you know, a grit guy away, Smart's that guy, you know? So the Celtics, they might put together a package and might be like, hey, here's Marcus Smart. Here's Josh Richardson. Here's Aaron Naismith. Here's a second round pick or whatever. And try to get somebody or a late first, whatever. And try to get a big impact name to go along with Tatum and Brown because they're not separating. Because right now, the Celtics actually look okay. They beat the Kings by like 53 the other night, which I thought was awesome.
That franchise is hurting status right now.
Yeah, the Kings are in shambles right now.
I want to be on the record for saying that I am on board for a good Marcus Smart trade. So I'm not keeping him because I want him here. So I'm with you, Al. If there's something that comes to fruition, we might be here next week talking about some juicy rumors, and I'm right back on board of him moving.
Oh, completely understandable. Absolutely. No doubt about it. So I'm going to be curious to see what happens with Marcus Smart. I'm going to be curious about what the Celtics do. I mean, they made a move last year. Evan Fournier was their big move last year. That wasn't even really a big move. That was like, all right, we'll try to help you a little bit, but you still got knocked out in the first round 5 games by the Nets. Mm-hmm. And then Evan Fournier goes and signs with the Knicks anyway. So yeah,
apparently it was an extended tryout for the Knicks.
Yeah, pretty much. It was just, and then Evan Fournier just decides to go Michael Jordan on the Celtics. Like I still can't believe it. It's ridiculous. But anyways, we're going to leave it at that as far as Marcus Smart goes. One final topic. But before we get into that final topic, we have our guys and gals over at A&B Kitchen and Bar, A&B Burgers. Powder's going to tell you a little bit more about them if you would like a good bite to eat or a nice night out with the family. Go ahead, Powder.
Actually, I'll be heading to A&B Kitchen or actually A&B Burgers tomorrow night. But A&B Kitchen Bar is located in Boston, where A&B Burgers is in Beverly. A&B Kitchen Bar is in Boston, right on Causeway Street, right across the street from the TD Garden. Their newest spot to meet up before or after a game for dinner and drinks, offering elevated take on traditional New England pub menu with freshly made in-house dishes like chicken pot pie, meatloaf made with organically raised beef from Neiman Ranch, local clams and Andaloid sausage, or locally caught fish and chips. Draft beers from area breweries like Gentile Brewery in Beverly, Mass., Lord Hobo and Notch pair perfectly as well. Looking for a patio dining? A&B Kitchen has raised patio spectacular views of the garden and the Zakim Bridge. With newly installed heaters, you can enjoy the outdoor scene for extended season. Also, 32 feet of open garage doors along Causeway Street and 16 feet along Beverly Street. You're able to sit inside, but have all the benefits of open air dining experience without the elements. Don't have tickets, but want to watch the game amongst fans? A&B is the place with 9 installed 70-inch TVs. There isn't anywhere that you can say is not the best seat in the house. Open Monday through Sunday at 3 p.m. If there's a day game on the weekend, they open at 11 a.m.
I need to get down to A&B Kitchen and Bar. You know what's funny? I talked about my school the other day. So they're located around that area, yeah. And they love A&B. So I'm like, oh, one of my best friends knows the owner really well. I'll see if we can, you know, swing something. They're like, you're serious? I'm like, yeah. Yeah. Actually a connection. Yeah. So yeah. I don't know how great that's going to work, but we'll see what happens. I'm going to try. But shout out to our friends at A&B Kitchen and Bar, A&B Kitchen, Burgers, everything else. It's a great place. Great people, great owner. So go check it out. Final topic for the night. NFL divisional round is over. We now have our conference championship games. San Francisco 49ers are going to Los Angeles to take on the LA Rams, and the Cincinnati Bengals, continuing their Cinderella run in the playoffs, going to go up against the Kansas City Chiefs. So to kind of review the divisional games, the Cincinnati Bengals defeated the Tennessee Titans at Tennessee 19-16. San Francisco on the road with a last-second field goal. By the way, 3 last-second field goals, which was really impressive, and an overtime game. We're going to talk about all that in a second. San Francisco 49ers defeat the 1-seed Green Bay Packers 13-10 at Lambeau. The Los Angeles Rams blowing a 27-3 lead over the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Tell me where you've heard that Tom Brady story before. Almost exact. But they kick a last-second field goal to upset the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Rams go on to win 30-27. And in the last game, the best game of the weekend, the Kansas City Chiefs defeat the Buffalo Bills in overtime 42-36. I am sorry to our Bills resident, Zach Jezierro. Heartbreaking loss. I feel bad. But genuinely, because I thought the Bills should have won that game. But I guess what I want to ask you guys first is this. What was one takeaway you had from the weekend of divisional games? It can be from any game. It can be any player. What was one thing that you were like, wow, this really like makes sense, or this is something new, or just something that you really take away from this weekend? Because I got a couple, but there's one that really sticks out to me.
For me, it was just the talent of quarterback in the AFC going forward is bonkos.
Oh, yeah.
Burrow, Herbert, I have Allen, Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, you know, Mac Jones is a rookie looking to develop. It's just, you know, Tua can't be, you can't completely count out Tua overall yet, or Zach Wilson was the second overall pick. It's just, you can keep going on and on. It's going to be very exciting for the next 5 years.
It is. Powder, what do you got?
So two, kind of, I'll piggyback on Maddie, kind of Mahomes and Allen are two absolute studs. Both of them are unbelievable. But the other thing is I didn't watch a ton of Rams football, but Cooper Kupp is nasty. Like,
oh, he's good, yeah.
But also, how the hell was he that open on that last play? How do you let that happen? How?
Disgusted. The Bucs decided to bring pressure and they forgot Cooper Kupp existed, I guess. I don't know. One takeaway that I have is this. It might be the end of the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Aaron Rodgers has said he might want to leave if things don't change. I don't know if he's going to come back. Davante Adams is a free agent. So if Rodgers goes, Adams is going to go either with Aaron Rodgers. There was a report out there that said that he might want to play with Derek Carr because they both went to Fresno State together. So that's in the works. So I think we could start to see kind of the downfall of the Green Bay Packers.
Imagine having 30 straight years of Hall of Fame quarterbacking and only having two Super Bowls.
It's ridiculous. You had so many years of Brett Favre. You had so many years of Aaron Rodgers.
And it went from one to another. It's not like they had a transition year like Cam Newton. Right. No offense to Cam Newton. I loved him. But they didn't have a Cam Newton year in the middle. They went
right.
Brett Favre leaves. Aaron Rodgers takes over.
Exactly. And that's what you want in an organization.
Mm-hmm.
Who was the third quarterback? Rodgers, Favre.
They had Favre for like 15 years.
Yeah.
Rodgers for 15 years.
Oh, I thought you said, I'm sorry. I thought you said three quarterbacks. I don't know why I got that confused. You just had 30 years. Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that makes sense. So the Packers, I don't know where they're going to go from here. It's going to be interesting, say the least, because if that team like basically drifts apart and like is torn apart, the NFC North is wide open.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean wide open.
Yeah.
The Bears could take it. The Lions. Hey, the Lions, I mean, they lost a lot of close games. They could be a couple pieces away from being like respectable. Then you got the Vikings that are looking to go through some changes. So if Green Bay, you know, tears apart, that division could be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I agree.
And another takeaway, just really fast, because there were two I was really stuck on. Joe Burrow, I think, is a top five quarterback in this league.
Oh, he definitely.
I do.
I have to go through my list to make sure, but he is so good.
Yeah.
I mean,
he's top seven if he's not top five.
If he's not top five, he's the sixth man, essentially.
Yeah.
Because you have, in my opinion, right now, without retirements, Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, Joe Burrow. I don't have Herbert there yet. I'm not as big into Herbert as other people are. I think he's very, very good, but I think he needs another year or two to really be considered in the top five.
Yeah, I think I put Herbert there. I think his team isn't as I don't know if it's as good. You might have a good point. I mean, Burrow's in the AFC Championship, man. Sometimes you just gotta use what they're doing as the metric instead of diving into a bunch of different particulars. So maybe you're changing my mind here, Al.
Okay, I respect that. I'm glad someone appreciates my.
I'm gonna think about this. I'll report back next week.
Please do, please do. We'd love to have you back.
I'll have my book report ready for you guys next week.
Sounds good.
All right. So last week in the divisional games, I mean, we went 0-4.
I mean, it's damn right impressive.
It really is. Did we all go 0-4 last week?
We all had the same picks. We all had the same exact picks.
Wow, that's so funny. That is funny that we actually went 0-4 in the divisional round. That's impressive.
If we have some sort of mortal enemy out there and he's just like, I'm not listening to anything they say. You came up last week, buddy.
They made a lot of money.
Congrats to you.
If you cashed in on those
bets. The anti-Legends Lingo parlay cashed big time.
Good for you. All right, so we're going to do the two conference championship games. Let's get right into it. We'll start with the NFC championship first. I believe it was the – I always forget what seed they are. I think it was the 5-seed 49ers. Were they the 5-seed?
6-seed, I think.
Were they a 6?
They did a 6, yeah, because
Dallas was three. Rams. Yeah. Dallas was 3. That's right. Okay, so the 6-seed San Francisco 49ers going to the
– 4-seed.
4-seed Los Angeles Rams.
Mm-hmm.
Look, really just looking at it on paper, the Rams are a lot of fun. They finally got their quarterback in Matthew Stafford. I know he was stuck in purgatory. That was Detroit. Stafford's showing that in the right system with the right head coach, he can play. You know, the Rams have all the momentum. Like the 49ers, good defense, good run game. Jimmy Garoppolo has gotten them to the Super Bowl before, but, you know, I just think that the Rams offense is going to be way too high powered for this 49ers defense. So I'm taking the Rams to go to the Super Bowl. I can't believe I'm saying this. My dad has been on them the whole year. He's like, watch out for the Rams. They're good. I'm like, all right, whatever. It's on to something. Rams going to the Super Bowl. Whoever wants it next, take it.
For the strategy, I want to go Niners, but I'm going to go Rams. I'm going to stick to my original pick. I think they're kind of the team destiny. And the weird, crazy thing we might be looking at here, NFL went X amount of years without the home team winning the Super Bowl, and we may see it in back-to-back years.
You might. Yeah, because Super Bowl's in Los Angeles, so that makes sense. What do you got, Powder?
Yeah, I really want to go against you guys, but I just think the San Francisco or LA's defense is just way too good. Just watching the way they got after Brady all game, having Aaron Donald and what's his name from the Broncos?
Von Miller.
Having them, like, you can't double both of them. You double one, the other one's going to get around the edge and get you. So it's just unbelievable. I think their defense is just too good. And I think Matthew Stafford just wants to finally be like, you know what? Oh, I finally have a good team around me. I finally have a good coach. Like, I'm in a good situation. Let's just ball out. Because I think Matthew Stafford was going to be Hall of Famer just because he's put up ridiculous stats his whole career. But I think him getting a ring is something that's unbelievable. That would just cement his career.
That'd be and cool for him.
And you think about all the weapons that Matthew Stafford has. The run game, he has Cam Akers, he has Sony Michel. In the receiving game, you have Cooper Kupp and Odell Beckham, who seems like he's been reborn in L.A.
Yeah.
So.
Looks like his dad was right.
Yeah, I think he was too. Good luck to the 49ers. I mean, credit to them. They weren't supposed to be here, but they got here. So,
yeah.
You know, good for them. But we'll move on to the AFC Championship game now. I was praying for two things. One, I was praying that somehow the Chiefs would mess up and they would run out of time in regulation against the Bills. The Bills would win by three. A Bengals-Bills AFC Championship game would have been phenomenal.
Yeah.
Would have loved every second of it. Now, Joe Burrow is our only hope to not have Brittany Matthews or whatever her name is, Mahomes. I don't even know if she took Patrick's last name, but Mahomes' wife and Mahomes' brother from just destroying Super Bowl week. I'm sorry. I can't deal with Jackson Mahomes and his TikTok dances. I can't do it.
Oh, and they're going to La La Land too, baby.
Oh, it's going to be brutal. Watch him get like an acting job after that, but
I'll put Bengals, him in my movie.
Oh, gosh.
Hit me up, Jackson. Let's make movies.
Oh, gosh. We might need to find a new co-host.
You got served. You got served too. Star Jackson Mahomes. Let's do it.
Oh, goodness
gracious. Stomp the yard too. Let's go.
Bengals, Chiefs. These two teams met. I think they met like about a month ago. The Bengals have the offense to stay with the Chiefs. They do. They have the playmakers, especially Ja'Marr Chase. But let me tell you something. This team, this Bengals team, they've had a great run, but this Chiefs team is just unstoppable on offense. I hate to say it. Travis Kelce is an absolute force. Nobody can stay with Tyreek Hill. Their defense, nobody talks about their defense. The Chiefs defense is much improved from September and October. They're one of the best defenses in the league from like November on. And I'm still going to take the Bengals. I'm still going to take the Bengals. I don't want, and this is purely because I don't want the Chiefs in there. Like, I don't care that Buffalo is a division rival. I don't care about any of that. I don't want the Chiefs to go to three straight Super Bowls. They've already been to four straight AFC Championship games, so I'm tired of it. I know it sounds bad coming from a Patriots fan that's spoiled. I don't care. Keep the Chiefs out of the Super Bowl. Give me the Bengals. Give me Joey B going to his first Super Bowl.
Ooh, I love it.
I just want the Cinderella team. I want the Bengals to find a way to make it to the Super Bowl. Joe Burrow is just a winner. He won in college once he got the starting job. Obviously, last year towards ACL, he was not able to finish the season, but played a full season this year. You can see how special he is. take. Let's go Bengals.
Uday.
I am going to take the Kansas City Chiefs here in this pick. And for the reason is because they can't keep Joe Burrow upright. And I think even given how good their offense is, we only saw them score, what was it, 19 last week against the Titans. I still think even if, you know, Jamar Chase, T. Higgins go off, which I definitely think they can against this defense, this secondary that Kansas City has, I think they can get enough sacks to keep them in the game. And with the way Mahomes is absolutely dealing, they're going to take this game. Rams, Chiefs in La La Land. Let's do it.
What's your guys' ideal Super Bowl? What would you want it to be? I would want it Rams-Bengals. I think that would be a fun Super Bowl to watch.
Yeah,
probably. I think that would be real fun. But I also think Rams-Chiefs is really fun. I know Goff isn't there, but that Rams-Chiefs Monday Night Football game a few years back was as exciting as this Bills-Chiefs game. Yeah. It was in regular season, so it doesn't have that extra oomph, but still, great game. So I think there's a lot there, and McVay is always an offensive guy who's looking to put on a show. And I think in L.A. with the Rams indoors against the Chiefs, I think we could see a great game too.
Yeah,
no, I think we could. And you know what? Both coaches have Super Bowl experience. Obviously, Andy Reid would be there for the third straight year. Sean McVay, second time. Obviously, the first time didn't go so well against the Patriots. Mm-hmm. Sorry, Sean McVay. Not really. But either way, it's going to be a fun conference championship weekend. Patriots fans are not – I should say they're not used to it because now it's been 3 years in a row. But, you know, it's still a little weird to not have them there. But
yeah.
That's what it is, but we'll see what happens in the future. But I think that's it for this week, guys. Any final thoughts before we close out for the week?
Just congrats, David Ortiz, Hall of Fame, first ballot.
Big puppy.
Yeah, congrats, David.
Congrats to Senor October Dos, Mr. October the Second, David Ortiz. There's Reggie Jackson, and there's David Ortiz.
Mm-hmm.
As always, make sure to check out everything once again. CouchGuySports.com. Check out all the podcasts Maddie does, the blogs, which Powder says he's going to write. Hopefully, one day soon.
Yeah.
Check out the stuff when I post and everything else. Check out everything, CouchGuySports.com. Check out all of our podcasts. Make sure you check them all out. The Bruins are in full swing, so check out Shorthanded Takes podcast. The Celtics are in full swing, so make sure to check out the Raptors podcast. Into the Triangle, our Red Sox podcast will be coming out with an episode very, very soon. First one in a while since I think the playoffs. So we'll be getting back in the swing of things with that. Remember to rate and subscribe to the Legends Lingo podcast on iTunes, Spotify, SoundCloud, Anchor, and wherever else you get your podcasts. Leave us a rate. Give us a review. Tell us what we're good at. Tell us what we absolutely stink at. Tell me that I need to look as good as these two. I don't know. You just tell me what you need, and we'll go from there. If nothing else, for episode 157, that's Tom Powder Katniss. That's Maddie DeRozier. I'm your host, Alan Heegan. Thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. And we'll see you next week for episode 158.
Yes, sir.